I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seat, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City studios of the Farrell Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's already in bed. And that's because she had a big old toque at a white turban energized in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to break the traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High. The number to get benched is toll free 844-843-6879. Again, toll free 844-843-6879. To get on the bench and wax up with us on a Tuesday night. Right now, I'm watching several things happen. The Bucks are beating the Nets again with 309 left. It's 119-111. Brooklyn down 8 with The Rock. Kyrie dealing. And it's been another wild game between these two Eastern foes. And the productivity has been about the same as it was the other night when, Giannis had 49 and Durant had 42. Tonight, Durant's got 30 and Giannis has 33. And now Durant has 32 with a drive and a left-handed kiss off the glass. So they're down 6 now with 2.5 to go. They really melted down in the fourth quarter. This was a tie game. I think the Nets were up 2 after 3, and then they got it up to 6, and then they just absolutely couldn't stop the Bucks from scoring from that point forward. I mean, the Bucks just, they came right back, took the lead by 1. They were down 6, and I mean, they went on like a 14-0 run, and that was it. And that was the end of the Nets. And now they're down 121-113. They're going to lose this game. Here's the deal. You can't deny it, Carver High, that it's obvious to me that after Harris hits a 3 now, 121-116, I'm telling you, this team can lose to the Bucks in the playoffs. The Bucks, you know, I know they played them twice in Milwaukee. I don't care if they play them in Brooklyn, Milwaukee, wherever. All I know is the Bucks are not afraid of the Nets. They're not afraid of Durant. They're not afraid of Kyrie Irving. They're not afraid of Blake Griffin. They're not afraid of the rest of the hacks on that team. They are completely confident that they can beat the Nets, and they've done it. I mean, they beat them 2 in a row, no problem. Beat them by 3. They're going to beat them again tonight. I'll keel over if they lose this game. It's 121-116 with a minute and a half left, and they have the ball. So, Carver High, you have to admit, the Nets, everybody, you know, there's no denying that they're loaded. There's no denying. No Harden. Well, there's no Harden. That's like saying LeBron's going to play when he can't play either with his injuries. So Harden's injured. He's not playing. Without Harden, this Nets team will not beat the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm telling you, they're not beating the Bucks. Not this team. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline Radio, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier, Hoorah. It's Pharrell on the Bench with Carver High. Minute 7 left, 121-116 Bucks. You can't deny it, Carver High, that they can beat the Nets. I mean, you beat them twice in a row here, right in front of everybody on a national stage. Is that not enough proof in the pudding?
Well, they can absolutely beat the Nets. I don't think the Nets are invincible going right to the NBA Finals. I mean, they've barely played together all year, the main guys. You know, we know that their secondary guys have all been there all year long, but their main guys have not. So it's absolutely possible that over seven games the Bucks could find a way. Because, and here's the main thing for me and why the Bucks can do it. I don't think they got anybody who can hold Giannis down. Like, if Giannis wants to go off, you saw 49 the other day, big night tonight. Like, I don't think they can stop Giannis, and that's going to be their problem.
Yeah, and they are not stopping him again tonight, and neither are they stopping Middleton or Holiday or any of them. The bottom line is, I'll tell you another guy that drives him nuts that you wouldn't even guess in a million years who I'm going to say. Drives that team nuts, and he did it on Sunday or whenever the hell the game was, and he did it again tonight. I saw him hitting shots left and right. Is this guy Forbes? You know, Brian Forbes, whatever his name is. How about this guy? He averages 9.9. He's got 14-1-1 tonight.
Who?
And he's just Forbes, the shooting guard, the backup. He comes off the bench. And he's second to DiVincenzo on that team. And he's got 14 tonight. He lit him up Sunday as well. DiVincenzo's got 10. His backup's got 14. There's my point exactly. Holiday's got 23-8-10. Middleton, 23-7-4. Giannis, 34-12-4. They do whatever they want to him. Kyrie's got 36. Durant's got 32. The rest of them, you know, Green 10, Harris 12, James 10. I like Mike James. They signed him to another 10-day deal. Mike James gives him great burn, great minutes. After this one, Toronto and the Clippers, looking forward to it. Carver High getting involved. All right, so, alrighty. I'm watching the end. Oh, they finished him off. I guess I ran out of time there. I don't even know what happened. I turned on the Yankee game, and the next thing I knew, I saw the Bucks walking into the locker room. Obviously, they won. Otherwise, I would have seen an overtime or some kind of miracle. The Bucks win it 124-118. So much for that bet. I went with the Nets tonight, so there you go. I have to tell you, Carver High, I thought tonight – the Yankee game with the Astros was the best atmosphere that I've seen in a baseball game in 2 years. The only game that can even stand up to it is the Padres-Dodger game on that, what was it, that Friday night when that crazy baseball game at Petco, you know, a few weeks ago, right? That was insanity. That series was insane. I thought the Friday game was the best game, right? Because they came back and tied it in the ninth or whatever and then lost. And then lost again on Saturday, and then they won on Sunday. But that, you know, I guess that series, I'll give the series the nod as the best series so far in baseball this year. And then when they went to Chavez Ravine, the same thing happened, right? But I thought tonight at Yankee Stadium, obviously the story was – the return of the Astros, the cheating Houston Astros to the boogie down Bronx after, you know, 2017 and 2019. Wasn't it 17 and 19 that they beat them? And I mean, I think the Dodgers lost them in the World Series. So the only other team that could ever duplicate what happened tonight, I think, will be Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium. When they play them later this summer, which they are doing, by then, I believe that, you know, Dodger Stadium will be full. I think by, you know, summer when they play them, I don't know when it is, but a month from now, I think baseball stadiums are going to be full. And right now they're not full. So there was like 10,000 fans at the Yankee game tonight. And I mean to tell you, that was the greatest atmosphere ever, because you would have never known it was 10,000 fans. They were cussing and yelling chants that were so vulgar. It was awesome. Like, I am not one to be offended easily at all, ever. You can't offend me. So I've been through way too many offensive situations with myself and others to be offended by fans cussing, right? So they were dropping Pharrell Altuve's all night, and they were dropping ass hat to Bregman. They were giving Correa the business, but they gave Altuve the worst. I mean, this guy, they tortured him all night with Pharrell Altuve. And I mean, the chants were so loud you could hear him in downtown Manhattan, lower Manhattan, down on Wall Street. That's how far it was from the Bronx. I mean, it was loud and it was awesome. And everything happened in that game. The first inning, Bregman's getting ass-hatted. And then the guy hits a home run to left. And then in the bottom of the first, Stanton hits a off-speed Greinke pitch a mile into the sky. And it lands, 20 rows deep and left. This guy he got three hits tonight. And he's hitting .450 during a 10-game hitting streak. The guy is on fire. And all I know is the place was going bananas. And it was rowdy, and it was loud, and it was offensive. It was dirty. It was foul language. If you don't like all that, go to bed, okay? Because this was a long time coming. They haven't been here, last year there were no fans at all. So that doesn't count. So this is the first time since it happened that there were, it's been 2 years since they had fans at a game when the Astros were in town. So 2019, when they cheated, but back then no one knew they cheated. So when they played them in the ALCS, no one knew that they were cheating at that time. So there was no reason to boo them. So this is the first time you got to boo them, and it was a scene tonight in the Boogie Down. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I was a little worried going in that, because yes, there are fans there, but it being still a limited number of fans, that maybe it wouldn't have the same feel as if there was 45, 50,000 strong in there. But I give a lot of credit to the 10,000 that were in the house. They made it loud. You knew every time one of these jokers came up to the plate what was going on. You're right. They gave it to Altuve the most, and deservedly so. Yankee fans have a lot of bones to pick with Altuve. There's no doubt about it. I still can't believe they didn't nail him on in 2019. I mean, don't rip my shirt off. The guy's got the buzzer under the jersey. Hits a walk-off homer. The first thing he's worried about is running to the locker room to get the jersey off himself. And he stole the MVP from Judge in 2017. So they really don't like Altuve. But I thought they did an outstanding job, considering there was only 10,000 there. They made it sound like there was 50.
I mean, they did. I have to say that, first of all, I think it's amazing the fall from grace for Altuve. I mean, he was one of the most beloved players in the game. And when they won the World Series, he was probably the most popular player in baseball. And now his name is absolute mud. I mean, no one respects him anymore. I mean, his own teammates do. Dusty Baker does. People in Houston do. But nowhere else. Nowhere else. What's wild is during the game, and I know you watched it, did you hear him even talking about, like, Paul O'Neill joking about the Anaheim fans eat sushi and drink wine, and they were throwing garbage cans at him on the field. And he said, these people are they're wine and cheese eaters. They don't even have any stones at all, and they were giving them the business. They got nothing to do with it. There's your boy Stanton with his fourth hit tonight. Stanton, yeah, he's absolutely, right? Oh my God. He hits the home run and then has three. He had a double and two singles. This guy.
And they're not
cheap. You can't even deny it.
They're not cheapies either. He's hitting lasers. I mean, these singles that he's hitting are absolute lasers. So this guy's dialed in right now, and that's huge for the Yankees. Got 10-game inning streak, and he's hitting lasers, which is it's great to see.
I mean, did you see the double he hit all the way to the wall? It landed like on the foot of the wall.
This guy is
roping shots. You have to admit, whether you like it or not, I hope everyone everywhere that hates our guts right now, because we're talking about the Yankees so much, I hope you just absolutely hate my guts. Okay? So we established that. I hope you do, because you can kiss my skinny white ass, because we love the Bombers and we don't care what you think. Okay. So just we'll punch you in the face. How's that sound? All right. So here's the deal. This guy, you cannot deny. Now, we've called him every name in the book because we're New Yorkers. If he doesn't get a hit every single at bat, we hate him. Now, right. Judge lines a double to the wall and right.
And here's the thing. And I thought this over the weekend.
He got a single.
Judge had a monster weekend against the Tigers. You know, he hit the ball all over the place on the weekend. And I sat there thinking to myself, you know, it is sad because we do give these two guys a lot of flack and they deserve it. But when they are actually healthy and they play every day, they are very impactful players. They are productive players when they are actually in the lineup and they actually play. The problem is
they're never in the lineup
for Judge. I'm saying it's 60 or 70 games out of 162. Like you're not getting them at their full peak for the whole season. And that's why it's so tough. But when they are going, they are as deadly as any hitters in the league.
You cannot deny, you're right, that they miss tons of games. So if we've had this conversation on Coast to Coast and for all on a bench that you can, I have a problem giving him a gigantic 10-year deal for $350 million or whatever when he's never healthy. I had a big problem with that. I mean, I really do. He's, 29 years old, and he's had more injuries than me. I could be his dad, and I play more than him. I mean, it's true. Haro coming up on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider from Harvard on Sports Grid, also our hot dog insider on Coast to Coast, and Pharrell on a bench. And we just got done golfing at the prestigious Manhattan Woods on Sunday. We talked about it today on Coast to Coast, but we really didn't have time to, you know, discuss it further. We had to talk a little bit more about our glorious round of golf. And we bring Rick in now. God only knows where he is tonight. He was in Blacksburg, Virginia. I think he's in Atlanta, but I don't even know. Where are you?
Atlanta getting rained on. This is a huge storm today. Tornadoes all about and around. And I checked into my favorite Westin. I was going to drive a couple more hours because I'm heading home for tomorrow night. But, you know, why drive when you can start earlier tomorrow morning and drive? So it's a long trip. I decided to listen to my Cubs continue to be one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyway, well, at least they got to Kershaw and won the first game. I don't know what happened in the second game. I could tell you right now, I think they were they're tied 1-1 in the bottom of the seventh. Cubs up, nobody on, one out. So, anyway, we were golfing, and a couple things I wanted to bring up. A, so the caddy that we discussed today that you made fun of, the caddy, Joe, was something else. First of all, he absolutely loathed. I mean, I've never seen anyone in my life hate LeBron James more than that guy. Could you even believe the stuff that was coming out of his mouth about LeBron James?
I will tell you, more and more people are singing that tune now. But no, he is a LeBron James hater. Some of the stuff that I heard, you got to get the women and children out of there because, you know, I'm not sure he deserved all of that from all the things he was talking about. It was from politics to passing to his tweets about we hate the play-in games and should be fired. I think a lot of people feel about that one, by the way. And so well, he was.
He literally said that he was the dumbest person on earth. And I'm like, so I said to him, I said, he's about as dumb as that $300 million he's made playing basketball. And he's probably made another $500 million in endorsements and movies and, you know, Nike. Got his own shoe line. He's got 18 Nike shoe lines out, 18 of them. He's on shoe 18 going on 19. And I said, this guy's made more money than God. How stupid could you be if you make that much money? I don't care who you are. If you make that much money in life, being a basketball player or whatever, I don't care what you do. You make that kind of money, you're not stupid. And he kept trying to tell me that he's stupid. And then he tried to scream and yell that he couldn't hold Michael Jordan's jock. And then it got into a conversation about, like, Michael Jordan, you know, couldn't stop LeBron James, you know, any more than he could stop Allen Iverson. I thought, you know, Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever. I get it. But he's incredible. There's no denying it. Air Jordan, amazing. I saw the first three titles in Chicago when I lived there and I was working at Sports Channel. He's amazing. There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you, like, when it boils down to it, like, no one can stop LeBron James. That he's a freight train. I mean, the guy's a freight train going to the basket. And his inside-outside game is unequaled.
Yes. And remember when he came down to play with us in the Heat, and everybody was on him because they thought he would bring an instant championship. You know, and he did. And then he did it again in Cleveland, which was an incredible thing, and then Lakers. So we all agree. The thing that bothered me a little bit is that our buddy Pete and I were putting. You were over there near the trap. That was one of the few holes you were in the trap. You played a spectacular round. It was kind of hard to concentrate when he was chirping at you about how LeBron James couldn't hold Michael Jordan's jockstrap. Shut up and caddy, right? And that's the answer.
Yeah. I mean, it was annoying. But listen, the guy, it was like he was on blow or something. He was so lit. Like, I've never actually played golf with anyone that jacked up. Like, he was lit. I mean, this guy was on fire. He was so lit. I mean, this guy was just absolutely crazy. And I thought I'm the only one that got a kick out of him, because I know you guys all wanted to punch him, but I got a kick out of him because I was like, this guy, like, did people think I'm insane? I'm nothing compared to this guy. Like, I'm like a priest.
I think it's two things. One was, you and he are kind of kindred spirits, except, you know, golf course is not the time to exhibit that behavior. And then second is, I'm not sure he could read the greens, and you know, God forbid he would be following the balls. Why are we distracting him? He was too busy eating his ham sandwich, hot dog, whatever he was eating.
It was like, don't
bother me.
It was a cheesesteak.
Don't bother me. Watching golf balls. I'm eating my damn sandwich, man. Right?
How about when he told you that he was like. He said he was such a great golfer that he'd be a billionaire now if it wasn't for his sciatica.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Right. I forgot about that one. And that he couldn't stand up straight. He looked like the hunchback of Notre Dame on a diet. But it still was one of those things where, you know, you expect a little respect and a little bit of a placid. Listen, the round was great. Our host was fantastic. You played lights out. I've never seen you that good athletically. I told you that today. Even after a few drinks and some nightcaps, I still believe you could be one of the best golfers in this generation. Like, you know, God only gives us one or two talents. You know, it could be radio and golf.
Well, so the guy said to me, he did say to me, he said, I can, you know, because he talked to me more than you guys, because I think he got the message that you guys didn't like him. But I don't think he cared. Like, he just was like, I don't care what you think of me. Like, he had a real attitude. Right. So the guy said to me, he said, I can tell that you were once a great golfer. At some time in your life, you were a great golfer. He goes, but you clearly do not play golf now. Because, so, you know, I chunked a few shots and I, you know, looked up a couple times and I hit a few bad shots, but I hit so many great shots and I hit so many gigantic 2 irons and 3 irons and 4 irons and and hybrid woods on the fairway. I was hitting, 250 yard woods. I don't play woods, three woods and drivers. You know that I play nothing but irons, but I'll hit a hybrid on the fairway. He said that I could tell you were, in the single digits as a golfer. And I was when I lived in California and I played golf 5 days a week. I was a six. It's that simple. And then I quit playing when I moved to New York. You live in New York City in Hell's Kitchen. Where am I going to go golfing? I mean, there's
right.
I'm going to go to the driving range. That's it. Like, I'm not when I was living in Hell's Kitchen, Rick, I never once went golfing in 10 years because I never left the city, even when I was on vacation, because I was single. I didn't have a wife and kids and all that. I was drinking and partying and chasing women. I didn't go golfing. So I stopped golfing when I moved to New York City. If I would have never left California, I think I'd be almost, I think if I never left, I swear to God on my mother's grave, if I would have never left California, God is my witness. I have several people that have golfed with me in many golf tournaments, including Tahoe Celebrity. I played in every tournament, Ralph's, Bob Hope. I played in all of them. I played at every club in California, Riviera, Torrey Pines. I played at all of them. I played at every golf course in Palm Beach or in Palm Springs 1,000 times. Everyone there knows me. And I believe today I'd be a scratch golfer if I had stayed there.
Well,
and because I was playing 5 days a week. I can hit the golf ball. I can really hit it. And now I kind of got the itch because I play with you once in a while. I need to play more.
Good.
And I think public golf courses suck.
They do suck, but, we'll find other places similar to our wonderful host at Manhattan Woods. Listen, truth be told, the deal is that every PGA pro is told, don't change a guy's game if he's not playing a lot. Here is you who hits the, as you called it, the surfboard club, the two iron, 240 right. yards, 250 yards. You hit it great. So what does that guy do? He says, put that in the bag. Let's take out the driver so he could shank it and top it about 20 yards. So right. He was attempting to ruin the one part of your game that was really consistent.
Yeah, and you're right, because that's what he did. He's like, Carver Hyde, a guy goes, you hit that two iron so perfect. Why don't you just hit a driver once? And it's the easiest club in the bag. Just hit the driver.
Yeah, right.
Like, you should hit the driver 300 yeah. yards. And then I pulled out the driver, and I mean, I hit it right. I mean, it went 300 yards all right, 300 yards into some lady's Chevy on a highway outside the golf club. And then another time I tried my driver, and I hit it left, and I could have killed like three or four people. This thing went so far left. But I hit iron straight. I can hit an iron perfectly. I can hit it clean and straight, and I can hit it right in the middle of the fairway on every tee shot. And Rick saw me do it. So all I know is I need to stop listening to people and just get good at playing irons and hybrids. And I don't need that big stick. And what driver I used to be able to hit, Rick, was the Big Bertha, that stiff shaft Big Bertha. That flat Big Bertha. Remember that big-headed Big Bertha?
Yep. Relatively hard club to hit. And by the way, one quick thing at the end of this. Hitting a two iron is no walk in the park. That's a hard club to hit, and you did it well and well and well and well again. So I am going to continue to testify you are the golfer. Yes, you are.
All right, so we'll come back. I got a lot of sports business topics to hit on. I had a blast golfing with Haro, as always. The next country club we're going to play at is going to be even nicer than that one. One last thing about golfing with Haro. Haro is hits the ball straight, and he reminds me of my, and I mean this in a really positive way. My grandfather was like a 10 handicap till he was 90, and he did it because he hit the ball straight. I mean, old man, he hit the ball probably 140, 150 yards maximum, and on his drives or whatever, but he hit the ball straight. So every single shot went right down the middle. He never was in the rough. He was always on the fairway. So he would go bang, 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 bang. And he'd play, par bogey golf his whole life. And the guy, he used to destroy people because he never was in trouble. Guys like me, we hit the ball big. They end up like, these guys DeChambeau, he's always hitting the ball 400 yards and he's always in trouble. Guys that hit the ball straight and in, keep it in the fairway and just move it along and get up, up and down at the green, they're good golfers. That's the way Haro plays. Haro doesn't hit the ball far. He hits the ball straight, and he moves the ball right up to the green, and he puts it in the hole, and he had birdies and pars, and then he uses horrible language when he sinks 30-foot putts. Horrible language.
How do you know? Horrible. I mean, do you want me to repeat? Do you want me to repeat that on the air here? No, I think it'll be over.
We'll both be fired.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the best part of when you drop that. The best part of when you drop that bomb on that 40-foot putt you sank for a birdie.
Yeah.
The best part of it was is that there was a woman like 30 yards away, like bending over to putt for her par, and she had no clue what was going on around her, and she heard Haro drop the.
Yes, she did. And by the way, that was. I will tell you without getting specific, that was, Carver, that was incredibly sexist and demeaning and immature. And I am apologizing and saying I'll never do it again, but of course I will.
No. Well, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. We all laughed and high-fived and got excited for him. He hit a beautiful shot. And it was a lot of fun. Anyway, I want to get into some sports business news with you here. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble. So tell me about what you thought of the Endeavor stock IPO. That's the company that owns the UFC. We've talked about this before on the TV side, but what did it? They opened it with a share of 25, or is that what it? It closed at 25.20, and I guess it opened up at 24, up 5%. What did you think of that company coming out with an IPO? And do you think that that company, based on its success with Fox and now ESPN and how it's on every week of the year and their pay-per-views and the money they make and it's worth billions, do you believe, and with all their other properties that they own, Endeavor, which is huge in sports, do you feel like that's a good company to invest in?
Well, yeah, and let's remember, Endeavor is one of the big sports management companies as well. They opened at 24, but it grew about 12% just in one day. And the value of the company, because of the number of shares, is about $10 billion. So that's pretty significant. They own about 51% of the UFC. They're going to use some of their proceeds to buy the remaining 49%, Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, Deutsche Bank. So big guys were part of the financing. What it means is more money available to buy rights fees for sports all over the world. So good for that company, but also good for sports.
That's great. NASCAR and the Texas Motor Speedway revealed their plans for the NASCAR All-Star Race. I'm assuming it's down there.
Yeah, June 13, Texas Motor Speedway, for the first time in its 36-year history, $1 million prize, but it's also going to be pre-race festivities, the old Western theme. It's going to be a deal where they're bringing back as many fans as they can. You know, it's Texas, so they almost don't have any restrictions. The thing about NASCAR, it's open air, a lot of people, but a lot of open space, too. Like the Indy 500 is going to have 135,000 fans. We talked about that last week. So back to normal. The only difference is this is a race that's held in Charlotte every year, but they're moving it around, and they're doing it in Texas this year.
So Microsoft and the NBA have come together to launch a new advanced stat platform for fans. What's that all about?
Really cool. It's called Court Optics, and it's for gaming, but it's also for the geeks that want every kind of stat. They perfected it at the bubble last summer, but it's going to have new insights and new numbers regarding shot value, shot efficiency, success versus double teams, defensive pressure, passing ability, and top burst speed. I want to see how they figure that out. And, of course, this is, again, for people who really enjoy the NBA but also want to have more sophisticated betting knowledge, and it's another example of Microsoft getting ahead of the curve.
So the NFL becomes the first pro league to partner with Clubhouse. Tell me more about Clubhouse.
Social network eclipsing about 10 million downloads since launching at the start of the pandemic. They're valued about $4 billion. It is basically a social media chat room, but for sports and for the NFL. The Clubhouse account hosted audio rooms for fans to listen to the evaluations of draft prospects from their particular team. But again, for betting. And the interesting thing will be, will the gambling audience use Clubhouse to tout information that allow people to bet more efficiently, or are people going to kind of keep the information to themselves because they think they're going to win a lot of money and screw their neighbors? I think probably the latter.
So ESPN is doing stuff with Marvel. They had a game last night. I watched it with the Pelicans and Warriors, where it was all done in comic book stuff. When they shot the ball, there was like a laser. They had the whole deal going with that game last night. This goes back to that Nickelodeon thing that they did with the NFL. And obviously the NBA is trying to get in on it, and ESPN's getting in on it as well. Tonight they did the Yankee game with the Astros as May the 4th be with you. It was a Star Wars theme, and they had Ravitch and Kirchin and the other guy, they were dressed as Star Wars figures. Steve Levy was dressed as Darth Vader. I have seen it all. What is going on now with Marvel and all these people doing these, action figure type broadcasts?
Well, they're all, they're trying to reach a different kind of demographic. They just had a BetCast for NBA fans interested in sports wagering. We know about that. The Kids Cast of a Little League Championship game aimed at the younger set. This Marvel set and cast is the first ever inspired alternate game presentation. The regular ESPN had the main Warriors-Pelicans game, but this one weaved in Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Captain America, awarded the hero, the Avengers theme, 3D characters. And like you said, like Nickelodeon, it's a great idea because you don't have to watch that if you still want to watch the regular telecast. Watch ESPN and watch the regular game. But if you want some kind of special take on it, then you watch this Marvel cast, and I think that's cool.
So EA bought Glue Mobile for $2.1 billion. But isn't that like a gaming company, like a video game company or something?
Yeah, it's a smartphone gaming business, 500 mobile game developers and 800 total employees from Glue who will come over and try to make cool new games. It's a big purchase for EA, but in 2017, Glue's MLB Tap Sports Baseball became the first mobile game to be licensed by MLB. Growing the demand and allowing for them to hire more and more people, so baseball is now getting it.
What is that Socios deal with the Devils?
Yeah, well, they're trying to get a little more cryptocurrency like everybody else is doing. First deal with a U.S. sports team for Socios, and part of the partnership, the Socios' branding will appear on virtual signage on MSG Network broadcasts of all Devils games for the rest of the season. Back in March, Socios.com announced plans to build a New York headquarters, as well as allocate $50 million to purchase partnerships for the five leading U.S. sports leagues. They're owned by Malta-based blockchain company Chilis, and it's the 26th sports team to partner with Socios. A lot of money, cryptocurrency. Don't ask me how to make money in it. I'm just reporting it.
What is the deal with Aaron Rodgers? He's launched an IMDb for sports with one of his buddies in the midst of all of his problems with the Packers.
Yeah, Ryan Rotman and he have launched this digital platform giving in-depth athlete profiles, personal interests, business ventures, charitable endeavors, career stats. So they're trying to figure out kind of how to get the story of the athletes off the field. Of course, he just got engaged, and he seems to be starting a new life. Question is, will that new life include the Packers or not? You're all the patter and all the speculation. We'll just have to see.
How about Appetize? What is that, like a thing you use your phone to order food at all the stadiums and arenas?
Well, part of it, but it's also cashless. So the biggest part of Appetize's kind of menu, so to speak, is that they have the credit card account. They've added five MLB parks this year, Dodger, Busch, Fenway, Progressive, and Globe Life. 15 MLB parks, 27 minor league parks, this all started with, you know, COVID safety, and now everybody loves it because the teams are holding the money for longer. The people don't have to worry about cash. It's hard to imagine somebody not getting a hot dog if they don't have cash. I'm going to have to test that as the official Sports Grid hot dog advisor. I'm going to try to figure that one out, right? I mean, that's part of my role now.
Well, it is important and crucial to the advancement of all nations and peoples, the evolution of the hot dog. Matsuyama received Japan's highest award last week. Is that about right?
It is absolutely right. He's become one of the heroes with the Japanese premier giving him the medal and the highest honor, talking about his green jacket. He's also expressed his hope for winning a gold medal for the country at this year's Olympics, scheduled for Tokyo in July. Everybody forgets that he'll be playing on a relatively familiar home course when the Olympics happen. He'll also be lighting the flame, most people think, at the end of July in Tokyo.
So, Pepsi, respectfully, I have 1 minute. Pepsi is donating $1 million to youth soccer programs. That's a good idea.
$570 million over 5 years to build racial justice causes. $40 million to support 4,000 black and Hispanic students, community college. The Youth Soccer Initiative Team of Champions, more dollars. Pepsi joins numerous brands and made over $35 billion in racial justice commitments to 2023 in 2020. That's a big number, $35 billion. With the help of UEFA and MLS and other soccer organizations, they're giving a lot of money and people are noticing.
Check out the Daily Numbers Game and all of Rick Haro's appearances on Sports Grid across the board on both the TV and Sports Grid radio side every day of the week. Mr. Haro, our sports business legal and hot dog insider, it was great golfing with you. Thanks for coming on Coast to Coast and Perel on the Bench today. I'll see you next week.
See you next week, man. Talk to you.
All right, there he is, Rick Haro tonight from rainy Atlanta. So, Carver High, you only get to play golf. Like, do you pretty much only play at the Cape Cod every year? That's about it because you're so busy with, you know, kids and babies and everything. You just don't ever get a golf, or what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of rounds I play a year has gone down significantly in the last 4 years. There's no doubt about it. I will say I've already been out once this spring. Actually, a couple Sundays ago, did play with JJ and CeeLo. Believe it or not, I got out, a couple Sundays ago. I played 18 with JJ and CeeLo, so I do got one round under the belt. My goal is once a month before the Cape this year. That's what I'm trying. Once a month, at least.
The WFAN Open, who was the best golfer that day?
CeeLo, definitely. CeeLo.
Is he a good golfer?
He's decent. He's like me. He doesn't get to play that often, but you know, he shoots sometimes in the mid to low 90s. You know, he's not awful for us.
All right. That's not bad. That's not bad. I get obsessed with it. Like, that's the problem with me. I can't stop when I start, right? Like, so I'm pretty habitual with stuff like working out every day and lifting and boxing and swimming and playing basketball. I play basketball every day, but I don't, once I start golfing, like if I played twice a week, it wouldn't be long before I'd be playing four times a week. And then, you know, I just would go out every day and play, but I can't, like I said before, I'm just being honest. I can't stand these public courses. I just think they're packed. They're too crowded. And it takes forever to play a round of golf. I want to kill myself. I'm out there waiting 15 minutes for every shot. I just can't take it. You wonder why people smoke bowls out on the golf course and drink, because they can't hit a golf ball. You never get to hit a golf ball. You wait so long to hit it, then you finally step up to hit it and you screw it up. It's just the worst experience ever. I love playing at these exclusive clubs. It's way better.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Comfort is often the first thing we're willing to give up. But don't let style be the reason you aren't comfy. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look put together while feeling truly comfortable. Inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, the Ace Collection combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks. Upgrade your collection for the new year with new bomber jackets, half-zips, sweats, crewnecks, and much more. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.